This episode of The Vinyl Preacher is brought to you by the Wild Goose Festival. We got a promo code, but we're not sure what it is. But you should register with it. Do we know the promo code?
We do know the promo code.
Whoa.
Get this. The promo code is vinyl.
What? We have a real live promo code. This is news breaking to me. It's vinyl. Is it case sensitive, Matt?
It looks like all caps. I'm not sure all if it's caps. Case sensitive, but might as well do it. All caps just to be sure.
Vinyl, and those are all letters and not like numbers or special characters worked in?
Nope, just V-I-N-Y-L.
And it gets you a discount, right, Matt? Dear listener, us, somebody's getting a discount out of something.
Yeah, well, you're getting a discount for sure. Is it...
Me
hey,
or
friends?
The listener? Cold read, let's do it.
Hey, friends. I'm thrilled to share. That I'll be recording, we're thrilled to share that we'll be recording a podcast from the Wild Goose Festival this July 13th to 16th. We don't know which day yet. We're waiting on
actually, Matt, I've confirmed it. It's a four-day podcast. We're recording nonstop for 4 days, the 13th through the 16th.
We did warm up with a three-day Triduum project. So can we push it to 4 days? We will see.
We can.
The Wild Goose Festival is a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, seekers from all walks of life, and sometimes Zach's in-laws to explore justice, art, spirituality, and community. The festival will take place at Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove. Have you ever heard of this state, Zach? North Carolina?
Come on and raise up. Take your shirt off. Spin it around your head like a helicopter.
I don't know what any of that refers to, but I'm going to get caught up. And I'd love for you to join me there. From engaging workshops to inspiring panels and interactive experiences, Wild Goose has something for everyone. So mark your calendars and let's be a part of this incredible community that is committed to making a positive impact in the world. For more information, visit wildgoosefestival.org. As one of our followers, use discount code VINYL, that's V-I-N-Y-L, all caps, and you'll get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket. And by this point, you know, we're in like late registration. We're getting there. So that $50 will help you a great deal. So use the discount code.
I might need that. I haven't registered yet, Matt. Is that important?
It is important. You get to register as a creator, though, Zach. So I'll send you some info. But everybody else, use this discount code.
And now, our friends at Subwoofer.
Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I didn't know if there'd be a new Eurovision song just yet, but not yet. We're sticking with...
We'll see how the podcast goes today.
With Wolfie. I'm Matt Cato, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Zach Paris. You can't make me not the Lutheran campus pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Colorado, Boulder. At least for a few more weeks. Matt, I need to know. The people want to know. Number one, how do we do such professional ad reads? I don't understand why we haven't had more ad support for the podcast. And number two, how was your first like full, what appears to be, because I received a video. Here we go. We'll reset. Listeners, I received an interesting video from Matt and his family at the conclusion of Eurovision that indicated to me that Matt and the family had an immersive experience with the Eurovision Song Contest 2023.
I wish I could say it was immersive. In the last hour, I remembered, oh yeah, that's going on, and I'm getting texts about it. So I pulled it up on Peacock, and what I discovered was that it seems like the last chunk of Eurovision is announcement of scores.
Yes.
Which goes on for an extremely long time. Like,
the exact amount of time as ever.
I mean,
forever.
I was blown away just the way that they were able to drag it out to build up drama for each country's announcement of their scores. Then we're going to announce, I don't know, what the online voting, what the judges, I mean, just every possible like score that could be given. We're going to build it up. We're going to drag it out.
We didn't talk enough about it.
I mean, I was shocked by it. I mean, I think you've told me, but just to experience it, I was like, wow. And then also respect. I mean, that you can take something that like should really take 5 minutes and be able to blow it up is a pretty impressive achievement.
We hosted a small social gathering at my home in honor of Eurovision. And, you know, when you're preparing to host a Eurovision party, which maybe that's what next year's episode will be, how to host your first Eurovision party, you need to think Super Bowl, because that's what we're talking about here. Okay, like 4 hours. Because around 2.5, people are like, oh, is this about to wrap up? And you're like, nope.
Nope.
The acts just ended, which means we have an hour of interval acts where they bring back old people to sing songs. Duncan Lawrence's You'll Never Walk Alone was lovely. Then it's like a whole other hour revealing the scores of these. And they go from country to country for the judges, for the jurors, as they call them. And you get some sort of local national celebrity that most of the world's unfamiliar with from Lithuania or Latvia or whoever. And they have an awkward exchange with the hosts and give their 12 points to someone. And that feels important. You get to the end of, you're like, how many more countries are left? And there are 37 countries voting. And you get to the end of that and you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess we got the winner here. And they're like, coming up next, we award, half of the votes have not been awarded yet at the end of this. The other half are fan votes. And we'll do that quickly.
Yeah. Which was dramatic. I mean, there were just dramatic shifts.
They do a good job of drawing it out.
I did appreciate the hosts that I saw. Is that Graham Norton and Hannah Waddingham from Ted
Lasso?
And
some other person.
Some other person. those two were excellent. Yeah, I mean, just it was very dramatic. We did see then we watched. So then the winner comes out and performs again, which I was pretty impressed by too. It's as if like. Mm-hmm. It's as if, like, at the Grammys, they award you best song, and then you got to perform it immediately. Like,
shouldn't they, though, if you think about it?
Like, it's pretty impressive. Like,
we're all here to celebrate how great your song was, but please don't sing it for us. Like,
I mean, it's like they sing it once, you know, but like, nope, now I can do it again. I'd love to see it at the Oscars, like, best actor. All right, that clip we just saw, let's go.
Let's do it.
Reenact it. Here we go. Like, it's just, I was impressed that you're able to just go up there and let's do this again. So that was the one that my kids watched. And they were really just entranced by Tattoo and the way and Loreen's performance of it. So yes, I captured some of that. But then they requested to listen to it in the car. So I guess that's all it takes, Zach. I mean, next year maybe they're going to be like, let's listen to this all the time in the month leading up.
My daughter, by the end of Eurovision, was singing word for word half the songs in the final. Have you waded into the controversy at all? One of our the guests at our party, who's a Eurovision enthusiast, was a deep believer in this conspiracy theory reality that Loreen, who was the winner, spoilers, Loreen from Sweden, former winner, we talked about it before, 2012 winner from Sweden, had a song called Tattoo that was inspired by The Winner Takes It All by ABBA. And there are some YouTube conspiratorial videos where it seems in the videos like there are some sections that seem pretty nearly lifted, like in terms of the melody from Winner Takes It All. So some controversy out there did not prevent, because it has to be an original song. That's the.
Sure. Yeah.
That's where the people who did not want Loreen to win.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I was unaware of that. Does seem like a. I mean, they did. Build up the connection that it's like what 50 years since ABBA won next year, so it'll go back to, so you know, I don't know,
back maybe to there's Sweden.
Some just more things to be newsworthy.
What it taught me again, Matt, and I've said it on the podcast a number of times, it reminded me how out of touch I am with continental Europe, the taste of continental Europe. By the end, I had some real, like, you know, you listen to these songs for months, Matt, and some of them grow on you, and some of there's ebbs and flows of songs, right? By the end, one of our household favorites was Blood and Glitter. The Caleb talked about the German song. Blood and Glitter, Saint and Sinner, We're So Happy We Could Die. You know, the Vinyl Spouse started to draw some interesting connections. She claims that his vocals are pretty similar to the National. So there's like a National vibe to it.
What?
And when you frame it that way, like, it's true. There is some National vibe. And they got around 10 points or something altogether, whereas Loreen, of course, won with 580 points. Just know interest in that song at all. In fact, they were the third place winner of our household. We, of course, held a household vote. Unsurprisingly, Norway was the winner at our party with Queen of Kings, which didn't get much love from the judges or the fans. I have a theory behind that, Matt, because Sweden won and Finland finished second. I feel like there was some hesitancy on the viewers to give like a Scandinavian clean sweep, you know, right?
Yeah.
Like you're like, okay, right? Like, let's say you're living in Moldova, right? You're like, well, I gotta show some love for other, you know, more your Mediterranean countries, right? So maybe you don't give your votes there, but wild, man. Wild all around. So it was in my house, it was Norway, Queen of Kings. Then it was Australia, which had a really fun, like we ended up going Rocky. We didn't think we'd go Rocky. Australia did well. So Norway finishes in fifth, but a distant fifth, 268. Australia finishing in ninth, which is a good result for Australia because, again, they're not European. And Germany, which was my third place team, finished last, Matt. Last. Had to pull up the results here. 18 points. Absolutely last.
Wow.
Below another what I thought May Muller's song, the English song, I wrote a song. It was really good. Good. Really, it was a good bop. Yeah. But second to last. No chance. Like,
people just don't like England.
What? Well, they finished second last year. I don't.
Oh, okay.
You know? Like, I don't get it. My only other real takeaway from musically, Matt, you know, I was reminded again this year on Eurovision, the vocals must be performed live. So they have a. They're performing with a click track or a backing track. Instruments are not allowed to be played live, which is kind of fun to watch knowing that, right? So when they have like a drum kit and stuff out and somebody's playing the drums, but they're all like muted and like the cymbals are glued together and like all this stuff and guitars aren't plugged in. But just to know, they're not really playing. They're just out there pretending to play. But you can really hear it. And I... upon reflection, think Denmark's song was really good. I really liked it. But his vocals were so weak, just incredibly weak. I was just surprised how weak the vocals were. He didn't make it out of the semifinal and should not have based on his vocals, but it was a good song. Yeah. He just couldn't sing it. You guys should find somebody.
Just couldn't sing it.
Who could sing the song?
Wow.
But your household seemed to enjoy Loreen's tattoo, man.
Yeah.
The request in the car. You're recreating the video. That's what I was alluding to earlier.
Yeah, she just started doing that. And then I was like, oh, let's get a box and make it like it's... Because that's what you do with six-year-olds. It's
Loreen's fun. Stage design was... There was a lot of laying down this year as well. A lot of the performers laid down. Respect. And Loreen was no exception and kind of laid down in between these two, like... columns or pillars that were close together and then got further apart.
Yeah.
So that was recreated at Matt's household.
Yep. Well, another Eurovision in the books.
Another one in the books. 2024.
Great.
One of my students, Matt, shout out to Emma Brown, was there.
Really?
Was there in the performance area, like in the arena, which listening to my Eurovision podcast, I've come to discern how difficult that is. And I look forward to talking to Emma to figure out how she did it, because we've joked about, half joked, that, you know, instead of Coachella, we should do Eurovision.
Sure.
It's a much tougher ticket, Matt. You know, there's 125,000 tickets for Coachella and, you know, Europe lacks like giant basketball arenas because they don't have like basketball teams, right? So indoor venues are a little smaller, and that's certainly the case in Liverpool, where it holds like, I don't know, 12,000-13,000, maybe 14,000 people. And because of the layout, they only did half because they need a lot of backstage space, right? So there were only 6,500 tickets, and they gave half of those to Ukrainian refugees living in England. So there are only 3,000 tickets available to the general public, man. And so that'd be a tougher ticket. But it still looks like it could be fun. You know, there are lots of like outdoor areas where people watch and like festival vibes and stuff. But pretty wild. Like such a big event can only have 3,000 tickets for the general
public. It's wild. Wow.
And as you noted, Matt, Eurovision does a great job of building the drama for the votes, which is unlike the NBA draft lottery, where they seem to have no interest in the drama, because for some of us, there's a 7'4" man child from Paris who's going to enter the NBA draft, who's supposed to be the greatest thing since or before Jesus Christ himself. And you needed to win this year's lottery. And the Charlotte Hornets, who have the worst just general luck, but also draft luck, of course, finished second. But they pull ping pong balls out and pull giant logos out of envelopes. And, you know, it was down to the Hornets who have the second pick. And the San Antonio, the hard luck San Antonio Spurs, who've never had anything good happen to them, especially with draft luck, were international players. And it got down to the two of them, and one of them was going to get this great prize. It seems like he should have taken a beat, like Graham Norton did.
Right.
Even before he announced, like, Loreen, which was the obvious, who was, you know, if you could do math, was definitely going to win at that point. I mean, I didn't do the math, and I still had my fingers crossed Finland would win. But, you know, he just waits forever before he says it. This dude is just ripping. He has other things to do, right? Like, I'm surprised he didn't have, like, an envelope opener, like, and just, like, cutting them open instead of, like, folding them open. And he's like, oh, it's Charlotte second, San Antonio's first. All right, let's cut, go to the basketball game. That's all you get.
That's it. Yeah, your beloved Charlotte Hornets, number two.
As a lifelong Denver Nuggets fan, it's tough when the Hornets don't get any luck.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm sure that Wemby is good. I'm sure he's very good. The hype level is a little bit off the charts right now, which makes
it is
a little bit, I don't know. That makes me a little nervous. But it sucks for every other NBA team, but obviously great for the Spurs. Probably also good for Wemby, because the Spurs are pretty stable organization with one of the best coaches of all time.
Antonio than Charlie.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's good for those two, bad for everybody.
There are a lot of people who are hype about the player who the Hornets most likely will select. Most importantly, his name is Scoot.
Scoot.
Scoot Henderson, who did not go to college, but has been playing in the G League for 2 years. Wow. Coming to Charlotte, and we'll get to. I'm excited. I'm gonna get a jersey with Scoot on the back.
Scoot,
you better put his first name on the back, not his last name.
It'd be amazing.
Scoot, yes. Henderson.
Well, it's all the news.
That's the news.
We covered it all on this. Maybe we should talk about the text. It's an exciting day in the life of the church. Not quite as exciting as Eurovision.
Just random question. How many days has it been since Easter? I always lose track.
I think 50 days.
50 días.
Funf something. I can't remember how.
Funf. Oh, that is funf.
We're working on it. We listen to German language every day on the way to school.
Right. You're preparing to go to the land of blood and glitter.
Oh, it's the
sweet and bitter.
Yeah, the European vacation. It's coming. And so I need a Pentecost moment to get ready so that I can be truly, truly prepared.
Necesitas un momento de Pentecosto.
See, Spanish is not going to help. We're not going to Spain. It's
nine.
I put my kids in 2 years of Spanish and then decided, let's not go to a Spanish-speaking country. Let's go to a completely different speaking country. It's going to be great. They're learning German, and they told me they hope that they could also learn the language of Scotland. So that's
Gaelic Scott.
Fun.
Huh? All right.
Be great.
Scotch Gaelic.
Well, it is Pentecost. Woohoo! Very exciting. Get some.
It's the best preaching Sunday of the year, for sure.
Yeah, especially since you're just coming out of those last few weeks. You know, the Easter season starts out with some bangers of stories, and then by the time you get to the end, it's just Jesus giving these speeches, getting a little long winded. People are like, "I don't want you to leave," but it's going along.
It's a real graduation speech, in that everybody wants it to be over.
Please, yeah, let's go. So this is better. Acts 2:1-21. You've heard it before, but you can hear it again. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation, under heaven, living
all 37 Eurovision nations were there.
All of them.
It's a lot like Eurovision.
And at this sound, Pentecost vision, Holy Spirit, you need to do something here. Speaking in the native language of each, amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia?" This is the best sentence. Just give somebody a text to read like 5 minutes before worship. Mm-hmm. "Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene," but only those parts, "and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages. We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Was ist das? What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." How could you be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Whew, good line. "Even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and glitter and fire and smoky mist, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Woo!
So good, going on? I mean, it's my favorite thing to preach on, for sure.
It's so good. I want to start at the end, because we were doing Bible study last night and we were reading this these scary words from the prophet Joel. Oh my gosh, look at these portents in the heaven above. It sounds like that's going to be a scary time. And folks are talking about like this is going to be in the future. What a scary time this is going to be. But Peter is not reading this as a prophecy of what's going to come. He says, no, this is what's happening right now, which is kind of an incredible thing. He's saying, right now you are seeing the fulfillment of these words from Joel, which is I never thought about that way before. But that's what he's saying. When you remember Joel, he's talking about the fire and the mist and the spirit being poured out and visions and dreams and prophesying. It's happening right now.
This is it. What I like about this text, Matt, in preaching on Pentecost, and I really would encourage you to preach on this text rather than the gospel, because this is just fire, literally and figuratively. It's the time, some of my favorite preaching in the whole world that you don't hear enough of in the church is that sort of mystical realism preaching, which is, an under... traveled route of preaching, at least in my part of the world. But I love it. And, it's like Gabriel Garcia Marquez sorts of things, right? Like that this is magical realism. And like magical realism sounds like a thing that's not real, right? But it says realism. Like that's a part of it, right? And that's the important part as a preacher to do here is... In some ways, preaching on Pentecost is really easy because you get to paint the picture of what the future might be as much as it's about the present, right? And you tie that into the present. Like, that's a good note, Matt. I'm not disregarding your note about pulling it into the present. But that's the hard part of it too, right, is the pulling it into the present. You get to paint a fantastic picture that seems unbelievable, but you have to make it somewhat real and believable, right? You're not writing a thesis here to try to prove that, right? But you gotta, you get to paint this incredible picture like the text itself does. And then you just got to find that little door in that opens the possibility for people, because you kind of want to take them on that ride, right? Where like, oh, this is fantastic. This surely is not now, right? This isn't us. And you want to take people all the way past that point, right? Where they're like, oh, well, this isn't about us. And then sneak them back in and have them have that realization, like, oh, wait, like this, oh, you mean now, right? This is the place. And so I think that's the trick. My favorite Pentecost sermon that I preached, I thought did that well when I stole the Agloe, New York Paper Town stuff from John Green, where, you know, I talked about these crazy visions and then, you know, talked about how the neat thing about Agloe, New York, if you've not listened to the podcast before, is that it's a paper town, which is a fake place that people would put into old maps to protect their intellectual property. But because so many people knew it was not real, they went out to visit it, that it started to become a real place. Eventually it got a post office. And so a thing that existed only in our imaginations became real. And, you know, I think for me, that nugget was a helpful tool to open the door, right, to help people to consider mystical, magical things, that to consider them as more real, potential, and present than they otherwise would.
Yeah. Oh, the Paper Towns reference. Wow.
Or to go back a couple weeks, right, to hit the Neil Gaiman Ocean at the End of the Lane. He does that really well. Like, I mean, yeah. Neil Gaiman does that in a lot of his stuff, but in Ocean at the End of the Lane, he does it incredibly well, where you don't get, like, you get, like, it's like foggy around the edges of the narrative that you think is real. But you're still confident enough in like the narrative of like, what's happened? Oh, and then you like find some things confusing, but then it opens up and like, oh, there's all like, it's not what I thought it was, you know? And I've said trick and I'm thinking trick, but it's not that it's a trick, but it's a, you know, a tool.
Yeah. It's a tool. It's a move. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, take your congregation on that, your community on that journey, you know, take them on the wild ride, paint that picture. And then I think that's the move, is to make it real, then to move it right into the present, into your context, and point out where that is happening already. And you could get, I think to make it really powerful, you could get really specific, right? And, and just point out the ways that the Spirit is being poured out in your community now. Because I guarantee it's happening, and hopefully this text will give you a lens to see just how God is working. And the more specific you can be, I mean, go all magical for that first part of the sermon, right? Take them on the journey, and then boom for that move. Do what Peter did and say, "This is happening right now."
Red pill them. That's what I'm saying. Or to reframe a tiny bit, Tillich has those like cracks in the mask sort of thing. Right. And if you can identify those cracks in the mask that are in your community, you can also see those as kind of like little doors into like a wonderland. Right.
Yeah.
Like, those aren't just cracks. Right. Those are like, there's a whole nother universe like that you don't see happening through here that can be immersive and we can go fully into.
Yeah. 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 And it's also just, it's a way of understanding what we, things that we experience every day that we think, well, that just happens. But if you see it with a different lens and you kind of crack open what's going on underneath all of that, there's actually something pretty powerful happening. So lift that up for your community. Oh my goodness. I actually think, Zach, I know you don't like the other texts as much as this amazing Acts story, but they both speak to, I think, the same move. So we don't usually cover the epistle, but the epistle talks about the variety of gifts, but the same Lord. And so there's these gifts being poured out upon people, right? And then even Jesus here, which this is kind of the John 20, 19 to 23 option, is actually a snippet from that Thomas story from, if you may remember, on the second Sunday of Easter. So my Bible study group said, I think we've read this not that long ago. Yep, we definitely did. We definitely did.
John just doesn't get enough play in the lectionary.
Doesn't get enough play
in Easter.
So much Well, I shouldn't say less exciting because this is the dead man who's suddenly appearing among them. It's just not a violent wind
boring.
And flame. Just not a violent wind and flame. But there is this receive the Holy Spirit. And then he gives them the keys here, right? This forgive the sins of any that forgive and you retain this. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gives them this power. And so to see that this power is being poured out upon not just people long ago, not just people in the future, but here, now, in your community, right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
So many good songs you could use, yeah. Come on. I'm going to write one down right now. You can hear it later.
Do we need to read the gospel or are we cruising back? Sure,
yeah.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, a.k.a. Moon Day, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. So, yeah, similar move. Feels a bit more peaceful, but again, it's a dead man who's suddenly appearing among them. So it's a lot. You want to talk if about magical he realism?
He had set himself on fire.
If only. So yeah, obviously the fireworks are all in that first text, but I think the other text could support that sermon with a reference here and there.
I like it.
Well, Pentecost, always a great day for playlists. So many good ones. What do we listen to this year?
Got some new songs, new releases I'm going to put on the podcast playlist this week. First, I'm going to put a fun new upbeat song, boppy kind of deal that's going to get you going into the summer as well as through Pentecost here. It's called Pegasus, and it's an Arlo Parks track that also features Phoebe Bridgers. And so there's some magical realism for you, some fantastical stuff. Arlo Parks and Phoebe Bridgers.
Phoebe showing up together. As a guest on all kinds of songs. She's like one of those rappers, you know, like they used to do rappers at the end of pop songs. And this is now we just pull in Phoebe. Let's just, like, can we get Phoebe on this track?
There's a Phoebe quota that all the indie artists have to hit. Yep. One quarter of every track, all the tracks released have to have Phoebe on them somewhere. And then Dolly Parton has a new song. I don't think it's particularly good, but it fits. "World on Fire" by Dolly Parton. You can check it out. Maybe, you know, I don't have my finger on the pulse of continental American taste either. And it is really good, but you can check it out. It fits the day. And then going back to Florence and Florence plus the Machine. With a song called "Dream Girl Evil," which is kind of about this, like, the push and pull of societal expectations on women, and the pull between being evil and being a dream girl. And so I think we didn't really talk about it, but there's some like tension there within, like, is this blood of moons, moon of blood, a thing to be feared, or is it a thing to celebrate, or how's it pulling us?
Awesome. Excellent. Love Florence and the Machine. I know that you haven't seen it yet, Zach, because it's not streaming, but Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 features Florence and the Machine in a prominent needle drop. There's a wonderful video of her name's not Florence. I can't remember what her name is, but watching this this scene unfold and this needle drop and just being very loving it. So Florence and the Machine having a moment because of GOTG3.
I mean, her name is Florence Welch.
There you go. Florence Welch.
Florence Welch.
Awesome.
I don't know. What is her name if it's not Florence?
Florence Welch. I once saw her perform at Coachella, but she had broken her leg, so she performed on a stool. And you know what? She was still good. It was still good. So
she had to melt down the ice skating rink.
I'm just saying, Frank, even though you still sing.
This podcast has very few enemies, and yet in the Enemy Hall of Fame, we have Kevin Strickland and Frank Ocean.
Who knew? Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow.
I look forward to Wild Goose and making some new enemies.
Indeed.
Promo code.
Oh gosh. Vinyl. Well, I will throw on there since I was right here, right now, by Jesus Jones. Oh, what a classic. Feels like a song that has, feels very of the fall of the Berlin Wall kind of moment. I think that was actually when the song came out, was about that time. Right here, right now, by Jesus Jones. And yes, I've been watching Rick Steves, Berlin. So thinking about the Berlin Wall for a while. And then some fire songs, Ed Sheeran, I See Fire, from the Hobbit series. But it's really, I love Ed. I don't always love Ed Sheeran, but he just does a really great song, a great job with
those. You see these rumors that Ed Sheeran's contemplating a move to American country music?
I can believe it. Vance Joy, Fire and the Flood. And then, Zach,
oh gosh,
one of your favorites.
A fourth song.
The Avid Brothers with The Fire. Was I Googling Fire and the Avid Brothers came up? Yes, yes, I was. But it's an interesting track. You should check it out. The Fire.
I'd like to talk to everyone, just like a general like survey of the folks who Google the word fire. Like, what are you looking for when you Google the word fire?
Oh, wow. Well, it's been real.
Real vinyl.
Ooh.